Washington's
talk program.
Superstation. Washington's talk superstation. 106.7. WJFK. Live from the Geico Studios.
WJFK FM.
WJFK FM HD1.
Manassas. Washington, D.C.
Technology solutions provider.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You are a member of your household and only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
So we could start with a couple of tapes from the Oscars.
Yes.
Boring.
Yeah.
But there were a couple of good moments. The only really good moment I thought during the telecast, once again, we can analyze either the slowest reader or the drunkest man on earth, Harrison Ford.
Movies are made of ideas and pictures and words. And before anyone gets in front of a camera, somebody sits in a room armed only with a computer and their imagination, writing the words that bring those ideas to life. The nominees for original screenplay are...
I got a theory about old Harrison.
What's your theory?
What? I think that he doesn't do it the old-fashioned way. I think a lot of these actors are terrified to do the presentations and do that. I mean, nobody likes to speak in that form.
Right.
And a lot of them probably take modern medicine.
I'm on my second beer.
Stop it now.
I think Harrison does it the old-fashioned way.
He's been nervous for a long time.
I think Harrison goes out probably half hour before the show's going to start, just gets loaded.
He's nervous all weekend.
But the best moment had to be during the Ryan Seacrest crap on E,
yeah,
when the disheveled Gary Busey,
the terrifying Gary Busey,
yeah, walked onto the set.
Welcome back.
Yeah, let's start with that today, because it's Ryan Seacrest. Out of his element.
Scary Gary.
Yeah.
This guy, Ryan Seacrest, doesn't know how to handle the fact that who would. He's interviewing Jennifer Garner or someone.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he knows that it's Gary Busey.
Gary Busey looks like a homeless guy.
Yeah.
Who's walked out of the crowd.
He does.
He really thinks it's some stranger because of the way Busey's acting.
So we'll start with this and then on to the show.
Welcome back to Live from the Red Carpet at the 80th Annual Academy Awards. Joining me now is Jennifer Garner, presenter and, of course, star of Best Picture nomination Juno. Chatting with Laura Linney on the carpet, shall we?
Ryan Seacrest.
Hi.
You. I've been looking for you for years.
Oh no. What I do?
It's what you haven't done that I'm interested in.
It's a lot I need to do. Hi, girls. How are you?
Nice.
Laura Linney, Jennifer Garner.
Ryan Goodmore.
He's a good ad libber, isn't he?
He's so scared.
Absolutely. I believe what Jennifer was saying to you was fantastic cover section of the calendar, the LA Times this morning.
No, that was a shock. It was really nice.
That was really a shock.
Now, before I find out why I'm getting attacked over here, let me ask you about your dresses. Who's made? What
are you doing?
I'm a little nervous, but. Don't
worry. Here comes Busey in for a kiss.
Hello, how are you?
Congratulations,
Laura. Thank you so much.
God bless you.
Smell him.
Good to see you. You know Jennifer Garner?
What?
Jennifer Garner? It's Jennifer Garner?
Hi.
Oh,
it's great.
Lady.
It's so great. It's Jennifer.
He kisses her
Jennifer.
Neck.
Come here. Sorry. Yes, tell me, supermom, I was going to ask you about balancing everything, being supermom. Tell me how that goes for you.
Tell me about getting kissed on the neck on the red carpet by this man. That was nice. Everything's really balanced.
You look very nervous.
Yeah, I am, aren't you?
Where's Ben right now?
Where is Ben?
I don't know, but we need him quickly.
Yes, I think so.
I'm stealing her. We have more secrets to tell.
Okay,
yes.
Have fun.
Way to go, Ryan.
I do have one question for you. Ben Affleck, is he going to run for office? Is he going to get
a duel?
He's actually going into the presidential race.
Yes, he's going 08. Good to see you.
It's like two girls talking.
He has that moment.
Here it is.
Seth Rogen. I'll talk to you later. I'll see you at that party.
Okay. He just got blown off.
You know the one. Take care.
Let me just Busey's attacking him again.
Good to see you guys. All right.
He's figuring it out.
Have
here.
Fun. Thank you very much.
I love you.
There's lots to chat about, lots to do. I have no idea how to explain what's happening on this carpet right now.
Gary Busey, ladies and gentlemen. That's Gary Busey. There he goes.
He finally got it in his IFB, right? Somebody finally hips him to the fact that it's Gary Busey.
Ryan Seacrest is great. I like what someone would say. I'm wearing Dior, and he says, congratulations.
Anyway.
Busey just comes up and goes, it's what you haven't done.
Now, this is one of the 1 million times Janet is sitting in the other room watching this crap on E! She's going between that and the TV Guide channel. I'm watching the guys make left-hand turns.
Right.
I'm waiting for NASCAR to start. She comes in, and because I think it's like every other time, she tells me, you really got to see this. I say, I don't know. Smart girl, hits TiVo button. Uh-huh. Came back in. Great moment. It's not gotten a whole lot of play.
Right. I actually went so far as to listen to the clip of that stellar radio program that Ryan Seacrest does out in Los Angeles, because Gary Busey.
Hey, buddy.
Gary Busey called him this morning.
Seacrest in the boarding.
And Gary Busey was calling him, I swear to God, from a teepee. Gary Busey was so. It was 8 o'clock in the morning, Los Angeles time. And Gary Busey's talking about, make sure you tell everybody to go into the light to pay attention to the night. And that guy, Mr. Simon, you work with, my love and respect to him, too. Oh, and he's doing this stuff. I mean, he is pure Dennis Hopper when he's calling him. It's like, you have to remember it's a love and respect in the light, and you've got the love within you that has to come through your
honesty. Ryan Seacrest in the morning on Kiss FM with Ellen K. How you doing, Gary Busey?
I figured out Ryan Seacrest's formula. He is sitting there, and he just lets him go. It's just as good because you hear Gary Busey.
That's right, Bobby. Good morning.
And then Ellen K., who interrupts and says, Gary, you know, Ryan had his part in a movie one time, and Gary Busey goes, who's that? Who's that? I don't understand you. I can't hear you.
That's the female voice the consultant said I should have that I inherited from the Rick Dees show, Ryan Seacrest with Gary Busey.
He's just terrified of Gary Busey, and who wouldn't be? Then they've got I've seen these still pictures of Gary Busey with. He's leading with his teeth. Yeah. You could check his dental records, and you wouldn't even have to have him move. I mean, he's just all teeth going, he misses us. Oh, God. I love it. I mean, it's human beings interacting. You never know what's going to happen.
Oscar loves Busey. Oscar loves Seacrest. Oscar loves us.
That guy is so arrogant.
That's the best line in the whole Oscars right there. That's the only one that I laughed at.
The Oscar goes to
the Don and Mike Show.
Ah, thank you.
And you rocked my life. You've truly rocked my life.
I'll rock your life, honey.
No.
I drink your milkshake.
Now that's.
How was that?
That's not similar to. I know it's not nothing like.
Oh, look out!
Like toss my salad. That's it. We're straight. Right, Regis?
I guess the word is anal.
I guess so. What'd you have at that after Oscar party, Regis?
I better bring my rubbers.
Somebody touched you in a bad way and
it smells like a bunch of farts got in a fight.
That's right.
I think he misremembers.
Barack Obama. Shame.
Shame on you, Barack Obama.
Uh-oh.
That bitch!
Here's the phone number, everybody.
Let's put the phone and let's call that hotline today.
You can call Don and Mike anytime. From anywhere in America, 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Not bad.
That was amazing.
It was absolutely amazing.
I can't believe it. These guys are back.
Rickles.
These kids are back. I can't believe it. Down. They're back.
Every day this guy calls us fags.
What do you think, Jackson?
I don't think he's ready to call us fags.
What is he, a faggot?
Hey.
All right. A little quiet for Super Jock.
Shame on you, Barack Obama. That bitch!
I'd say hi to Buzz.
I'm the oldest man in the world.
Being careful, it's very important to me. Because I have genital herpes.
And I don't.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hey.
Big ass.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
again, hi everybody.
Hi everybody.
Hi there, welcome back.
Welcome back to the show.
Welcome.
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 Welcome. Welcome. Welcome.
What not?
Donna Mike Show, it's Monday. How the heck are you? Phone number, same as it was on Friday. 877-365-3636.
Oscar, Oscar, who will win?
Boring, boring. Oh, glad I slept through it.
Yeah. Horrible. Didn't miss much. Let's start. It actually put me in a bad mood. It was so bad.
Yeah, it was. Start with calls, and then I'll tell you about Janet's cousin, who I don't think will ever be coming back to see us again.
Uh-oh. Oh, really?
Yeah. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello. Oh,
dear me.
Hello.
Hello.
Now, I was calling because I am devastated.
About
what?
Because Don's leaving. You're leaving me. I grew up here, and you've been on the radio forever. What am I going to do?
This is not a news bulletin, honey.
I know. I'm a little late. I've got kids. I can't drive around the car with them in and you on. But
is Daddy still in the picture?
I'm sorry. Yes, he is. Delightfully so. But I'm so sad. So I mean,
would you be willing to come up with a creative and unique idea for a going away present?
Sure.
Okay, well, how about you come down here and do us all?
No, just you.
I don't want to be done by this woman, Mike, and I catch something.
Well, she might be, clean as a whistle and unbelievably attractive.
Thank you. It's very nice. Let's move on. I'm here until, the end.
You're here.
Until the end. Let's move on. You obviously, though, I will say this. She was obviously reacting to the thing in the newspaper yesterday, which none of my friends bothered to say anything to me about.
Oh.
And I count, by that I mean Rob, Mike, Buzz, or Joe. So
what the hell do you want us to say?
We figured you knew.
How about, how about just even in conversation?
All right, I'll say something to you about it. You could have mentioned me a little bit more.
How about this? It wasn't about you. But no, seriously.
So am I.
But
all right.
But how about seriously, one of you guys at least said, that was a nice spread.
Well, I called you last evening, and you were sleeping. I was going to call you about that and talk to you about Regis, and then you were texting when I walked in here, and then we immediately went on the air.
So you had no time at all?
No.
Because we're friends?
There are times that that I talk to you, and there are times that I don't, and you were texting. I called you. I was going to mention it to you last night. You were asleep. I came in today. You were in the middle of texting. And then that was it. And sometimes I guess you do not wish to be disturbed.
So I guess between last night when you called when I was sleeping,
yes,
and today when you walked in the studio when I was texting at 5 till 3, you had no other time. I mean, listen, I'm just goofing with you guys, but there's a part of me that's not goofing. It's like, guys, I don't know. If it was you guys, I would have at least called to at least say, I imagine this. I would have called and said either like, wow, huge, huge picture.
I would tell you why nobody said anything to you if you want an honest answer.
I would.
I probably would say people didn't think you wanted them to mention that. That's what I would probably say. I don't know.
Why would you think that?
I don't know.
I'm talking about not listeners or people like that. I'm talking about you guys, my friends. Why?
I would think that if we brought it up, you probably would be annoyed. Personally, that's what I would think. And I'm not quite sure why.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times we would say that's great, and you go, blah, blah,
Yes, but isn't it nice, though, to at least be courted that way, to be able to say blah,
I'm sure,
blah.
I'm sure.
Rather than, anyway.
Sure. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Well, I think.
No need.
I think, yes, Joe Ardinger has walked in here.
I mentioned your article on my show.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
I think that's an honest answer. That's what it is.
All right. Well, didn't mean to stop things there, but it's only because that was
so sensitive.
That was an unscreened call that it kind of stopped the show, and I didn't know what to say with the.
Well,
would you
not agree that it's a little awkward? We're all staying, and you're moving on with your life, and it's kind of awkward.
Okay, it's awkward.
It's a little awkward.
It's awkward for who in this circumstance?
All of us.
Okay, so. My apologies, but it's not.
No, there's nothing to apologize about.
It's not a secret.
Right.
It's not a secret. The whole time that it was a secret, everybody was very comfortable with it because we didn't talk about it. Now that it's not a secret.
Are you saying that you're uncomfortable with it and you'd like us to share some of the heavy lifting regarding your leaving or everything that was in that article is stuff that we've known for a long time.
And all I'm saying is that from a standpoint of God, I apologize for sounding like such a pussy to start the show. I did think that I would hear from you guys. That's all.
Well, I will tell you even if I had gotten through, I was calling you about Regis last night and really, sometimes when you don't come to the phone, I think maybe people have been bothering you, and that's why I didn't bring it up today.
Not the case. I don't have that relationship with you, Mike, seriously.
Well, sometimes I've called you many, many times over the last few years, and sometimes you don't want to be bothered. Well, and that was my call on this particular. And I'm being honest with you.
And when you're saying that, you're going back to like, and you're right, after Frieda passed away, sometimes I would not feel like talking.
Right.
But that's not been in the recent.
No, but I mean, sometimes you're busy.
Sometimes
that's what I think. That's what I. And on this particular thing, I would figure you didn't want me to come in and say, hey, great article.
No, you know what? I would expect at least that I was expecting sarcastic, which is what I would have done with you, which is like a way to at least address it while not sucking and slurping and, you know. But anyway, that's me. Those are my phobias. I'll have lots of time to work them out. So let's just move on.
Okay, let's.
Okay. Let's move on.
Very good.
There's lots more. I would have called you. I just want to say that. I would have called all of you guys. I would have called you. So you guys could look at me like I'm having some sort of, you know, tampon attack here or something. But I would have. If it was something that was important to you guys, mm-hmm. I would have called. That's all.
It was important to you?
Yes, I think it was, Mike.
Okay. All right.
I think it was. I think it was in some ways a brief, albeit brief, validation of what we've done with some guy writing in a newspaper that hates us that maybe I don't suck too bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I get, well, guess what? Wasn't that bad a picture of me?
No, they could have put it on the front page.
So I would, you know, so from that regard, yeah. You know.
It was the looking up picture.
As I told you. Mm-hmm. The Liz Crenshaw show.
You are funny because sometimes, you know, after all these years, sometimes I just don't know you. I really don't. Well, I don't know what offends your sensibilities, and I don't know what, you know, really, if I had thought for one second, and anybody in this room had felt for one second, that your feelings might have been a little put out of whack by not acknowledging that, everybody in this room would have called you. And you should be aware of that fact, because everybody in this room, like me, cares about your feelings, right. And really, we don't, you know, sometimes know how to deal with your feelings.
Seems,
you know what? You don't wear your heart on your sleeve all the time. You do on the air, but you don't in private.
But that just seems to me to be that was a no-brainer. That it was like, you know, how could you ignore that, right? I mean, we talked about it, for God's sake. I pimped it out.
Right.
You know, so that's all. Don't feel bad. My house guest was not impressed by it either.
Oh, no.
But at that point, I thought it was nice. I'm just trying to
segue. Well, you know what? I really, if you want my opinion, on it?
On what?
On the article?
Sure.
I think the article was good, but I also thought, frankly, it's the way we've been treated by the Washington Post forever. I thought they buried it inside the arts and entertainment section. And really, when you talk about certain other people in this market that get, you know, front page for maybe like even short 10-year anniversaries, I think frankly it could have been a little bit more out there. And I also thought it was buried in on the weekend, and it shouldn't have been.
Well, you could have said that to me as well.
I just did.
I mean, but you could have said to me, you know, before. You know, because I'm just like that. I don't know. It's not you. It's not really. It's not even you.
It's really you.
But I already told him I wouldn't have talked to you about it at that point. I would have, I was calling to talk about Regis calling the guy Xavier. That's all. I had to call on that particular account. That was it.
Yeah, and I was sleeping through this stuff. Let me, you know, Professor. Never mind. I believe you. Never mind. Never mind. I'm sorry I brought it up.
Look at his cheeks.
I'm sorry I brought it up. I'm glad you feel bad. I'm sorry I brought it up.
I feel bad all the time. Listen, now I feel really
bad. Here's the deal. We had these guests this weekend. Mm-hmm. This guy now. I can't say his name. He's Janet's cousin.
Right.
But if you take the letters of his name, his first name, and rearrange them, they spell brain. See if you can guess. It's real close, okay?
Work on it.
So here's the deal. This guy, Brain.
Yeah.
Jan's cousin. He's coming down, and he originally says he's coming down with his significant other, and he's going to receive some type of award downtown D.C., he's going to be downtown. All he needs is a ride to the metro, to the subway stop, and pretty much that's it. He arrives at 12 noon, and guess who his companion is? His companion is his dog.
Oh, he's got a doggy. Did you know he was going to bring a dog?
No, we thought the companion was a person.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
We had the guest room ready.
You were telling me that it was like
I thought so.
His wife.
Well, turns out.
You said it was a couple that was coming
again,
to visit.
You know,
they're going to a museum together.
Turns out he's going by himself, but he brought his dog.
Hmm. So you were going to do doggy daycare.
And it was a big dog. Yeah. And it was a nice dog, but I mean, a big-ass dog.
Mutt or a breed of some kind?
A breed, and actually a very sweet dog, the kind of dog that he takes around sometimes to hospitals to be with people. The dog has such
a nice
personality. Again,
that's wonderful, though. Like a golden retriever or something like that?
Yeah, like a mix, a lab, something. It was a nice, kind of, he was big and langy. Like,
he takes it to hospitals?
Like Colonel Klink, yes. Dude.
That's the nursing homes and things like that?
Yes, which is why at one point I started calling him Patch Adams.
So did Janet know that he was bringing a dog and not a woman?
Wow.
No.
Is this guy married?
Oh, first I got to tell you this. Saturday morning, as predicted, it came down to, we get the call from the guy, and he says, I'm about 90 minutes away. And at that point, we looked at each other, we went, all the Christmas stuff down.
Ah.
Everything's down.
With 90 minutes to go.
Wow.
And, I mean, when you're working under a time constraint, it is amazing how efficient you can work as a team.
Sure.
Not too many broken bulbs.
Good.
Between, January 1st and the 90 minutes that he was arriving, what was that time constraint? That was
we had 90 minutes to get everything.
No, but I'm saying you had a time.
I know.
You chose to do this fire drill, right?
It was
right?
fun. It was, sure.
Did you always want to have some really pressing excuse
I guess I had been waiting for an impetus to do right. it, and it struck us both at the same moment. And at first we started doing things the right way, like taking the balls off the tree one at a time, putting them in the little boxes, all the stuff that could break we were very careful with. Mm-hmm. And then I said, uh-oh, we only got like 40 minutes. So at that point, it was just everything down, just throw it in the basement in a corner, put a tarp over it, and boom, worry about it later. So we're ready for him to come. The house doesn't look like
anything
Christmas.
Get broken?
I don't know. Some stuff did, yes, but it's all downstairs now.
You did it like the Who's did it, like the Grinch did it.
Yeah.
Throwing the tree up the stairs.
One big sack.
Man, the chimney.
Not too annoying. I know that the Jim Carrey movie, the Horton Hears a Who, it's based on, Horton Hears a Who.
That's the one I plan to go to here, to see that one. I like that one.
But do they have to whore out Who Are You as the theme song? Because I'm already trained.
Is it Jim Carrey? I didn't know it was Jim Carrey.
He's Jim Carrey and Steve Carell are the voices.
Oh, okay. All right.
But I'm used to that song being whored out for CSI. Now I hear it whored out for something else.
Just because of that one, that's the one that I grew up with.
Right.
That's the Dr. Seuss book. Even bigger than Green Eggs and Ham.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even bigger than The Grinch. That's the one that I'm going to take my kids to that
one. That's the one with the sweet orange cover, right?
Right.
Yes, exactly.
Right. That's how most kids remember. Like, was One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish, that have kind of a blue cover?
Yellow cover. Yeah. No, One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish. This one has a little car. This one has a little star. Say what a lot of fish there are.
But Horton Hears a Who was the big one in my house.
Orange
that and something you guys never probably read, right, because it's a New England thing. Blueberries for Sal. Robert McCluskey. Did you ever have Robert McCluskey?
I've heard of it.
I grew up with those books.
Right.
And Make Way for Ducklings.
Yeah.
You ever hear that one?
Yeah, that one
That one made
of.
It down here? Okay. All right.
So anyway, off point with this. Right. So the guy shows up, and we're ready for him, and the car pulls up the driveway, and...
Hey, you know what I forgot to mention to
what's
you?
What's that?
That was a great article in the Washington Post this week.
Shut up. I know, I missed your many calls about it, and I apologize for that.
I know you were sleeping.
So he pulls up, and I hear her saying in the other room, okay, come on, TV off, let's go, come on, I'll put on a good front, and I hear her go, oh, my God. Oh, you're kidding me. This is as she's looking out the window.
Right.
And I come downstairs. I'm, what's going on? She says, look, it's a dog. It's not a woman. It's a dog. And, I mean, it's a big dog. And
Is it known to Janet that this cousin, is this a cousin of hers?
Yes.
Is it known to her that he's married or he's with a woman?
He is
married. He's married. Oh, so she assumes the whole time it's going to be a wife getting out of the car.
Yeah, so...
He's turned his wife into a dog.
He shows up, and the cat that this guy most resembles, seriously, is kind of like a skinnier Frank Caliendo. He looks like he has a very cherubic.
Okay.
And he's got, like, big, thick Clark Kent glasses.
Is he, I mean, although he's a little round, is he petite?
He's a smaller man.
Small of stature?
Yes. And he gets out of the car, and he's got his London Fog raincoat on and everything else, his Brainiac outfit. And the dog comes bounding out, and Janet says, whoa, who is this? He says, this is my dog, Nutsy. And as it turns out, my wife is in business on Bora Bora or something, and I couldn't find a sitter for the dog, so it's Nutsy and I.
she's in the current episode of Survivor, isn't she?
Yeah. And we said, okay, you know, that's cool. And he came in, he dropped his stuff off, and we were getting acclimated with the dog. And he said, here, and I made sure, now I take meticulous notes sometimes when we have guests over so that I'm positive the timeline is correct.
Okay.
Arrives at 12 noon with dog, says he has to do the following. Museums, sites, he's getting a major award.
Fragile!
At dinner.
Yeah.
And he wants to know how to best get around Washington, D.C. So what we said was, what would be best is we'll drive you, you can follow us in your car, to the subway stop. You take the subway downtown.
Metro.
And then when you get back home, you know how to get to our house because right. you push your GPS thing. Mm-hmm. So we get to the subway about 1 o'clock.
Did you give him a little dispenser of pepper spray?
Mike, I gave him the whole rap that you don't like, the one that we got the safest subways in the world and the cleanest right. subways in the world.
Right.
You know, except don't
eat. So you lied to him is what you did.
He said, don't eat a French fry. That's all. I get pissed off you French fries. So
that's right. They don't like eating.
So the guy leaves, and we get back home, and Janet says, well, we got to do something with the dog. And right. meanwhile, Oscar, the little bulldog, is going nuts because there's a new dog in the house, and it's not Colonel Klink, and he doesn't really know what's going on.
A big dog.
So we finally get everything organized, and we have one dog in the basement and one dog upstairs, and we are just getting set. It's about 5:45, and I said, oh, so what do you want to do? Do you want to go to a movie tonight? What do you want to do? She said, yeah. And all of a sudden, the phone rings, and she picks it up, and she goes, hello? She gives me the sign like, it's him. She goes, oh, really? Oh, well, yes. Oh, of course. That okay, great. Mm-hmm. All right. And I know right away something's gone wrong.
Yeah.
And she's okay. See you then. She hangs up the phone and I say, what's up? And she says, he's back at the metro station already. 5:45. In 4 hours, the guy went downtown, uh-huh. went to his museum,
right.
got his major award, which incidentally to me looked like a placemat, had his dinner, uh-huh. which consisted of a salad somewhere. And it's 5:45, and he's now ready to go out to dinner.
Oh.
Ready to rejoin.
So suddenly you're the cruise director.
Yeah, so he makes his way back home.
When he left, was it an understanding that he would be wrapping this up before the evening began?
Now, that is the feeling. That's the vibe that we got because, again, look at what he said.
So the vibe you got is that he'd be out late.
Yeah, he said, a lot.
He said, I don't know my way around town. I want to be let off somewhere near the JW Marriott downtown where this thing was. He said, and so let me see if I want. And he was talking like, if I want to go to the Jefferson Memorial or the White House at the Smithsonian, the Air and Space Museum, then I've got to get this award. Then there's a dinner. And he even said, like, here's the food for my dog because this is the type of food that he likes.
I mean, to see 1/8 of it. It would take you 4 hours.
Yeah.
I have no idea what he did.
You go to one museum, you could take 2.5-3 hours.
Sure. I swear I have no idea what he did. All I know is at 6:10, the headlights came up the driveway.
He's back.
And I turned to Janet and I said, this is more than we had bargained for. And she said, yeah, come on. We'll make the best of it.
Yeah.
He's got to be tired. It was a long ride. So we took him out to dinner. And when we went out to dinner, we had to hear him say how exciting it was to go into some sort of conference room at a hotel where someone gave him, like I said, this thing that you would eat your dinner off of, this placemat, and congratulated him on being the Nimrod of the century, and then gave him a lunch portion Caesar salad, and then sent him out the door. And from there, the guy had enough time to go to the Smithsonian, the Air and Space Museum, and some art museum that he wanted to go to.
Wow, he tore through them. But that, of course, that's the way I do museums. So, I mean, I can see him doing that, but
still, that's a lot in a very short time.
So that he didn't want to go to the monuments. He would rather, mm-hmm. and this was great, because he looked right at Janet. He said, I saw the monuments from my car. How often do I get to spend time with family?
That's right.
Oh, wow. That's tough. And he's a cousin, right? He's not like a regular see you even at the holidays family member. He's a distant family member.
He was supposed to be a, you know, like a third level, fourth level guy that was supposed to be no fuss, no muss.
Jeez, I had that with my family, too. And large Irish Catholic family. You got cousins that you don't even know. And it's like, hey, how are you? Uh-huh. Remember that time?
And don't get me wrong. The guy's a pleasant guy. And the guy obviously has an IQ, you know, four times what I do. But I'll tell you this. When I go to a restaurant, I don't have to ask the guy at the restaurant about the microbrews and then how each of them was brewed and then say, can you bring me out, like in a shot glass, just a taste of these three so I can decide.
Wow. Not heard of that. Now you're kind of person.
Now listen, we're at a restaurant that I go into a lot by my house, the restaurant that's by the CVS, the non-fancy place.
When did Applebee's start serving microbrews?
Well, this place does, so sure as S, they brought over his, you know, the guy comes over with our two doubles right away.
Well, that's too hoppy. That's too weedy. That's just right.
No, he gets done with this. He seriously, like a connoisseur, he goes,
At least he's drinking.
He goes, That's good. Then he takes the third one, he goes, I swear to God, he goes, do you have Amstel Light?
Oh, no.
And I was like, and I really did that thing, and I know you do this, Mike, sometimes too. You act like someone is, like your head is a light bulb and you're screwing it. It's like, I did a moment where I just was like, are you kidding me, number one?
Oh, that's kind of an a-hole move to the bartender or the server, you know?
So we have dinner and.
It's like saying, hey, thanks for bringing your microbrews over. They were all crap.
We have dinner and we hear more than we ever wanted to know about widgets or whatever the frig it is that this guy makes. And he, of course, is amused by the fact that we do some sort of, I said, he said, what sort of radio show do you do? And I said, well, we do a children's program. And he said, you know, that is just so outstanding. It's like it went totally over his head. He said, you know, and
how much of this did you feel like he, like I do sometimes when you've got these egghead type people and you just can't help but feel like they diminish what you do? And it's kind of amusing, like almost like we're circus clowns.
It came naturally to him that he said after all of this, and he didn't know jack about us, jack about me, really barely knows Janet.
Right.
So we get to the conversation, do a radio show. Yeah. Oh, we do a children's show.
Did you use the Phil Hartman line on him? I'm somewhat of a famous radio person.
No, he didn't care about that. He mainly wanted to talk. He said, like, what about HD radio, satellite radio? Because he wanted to impress
me. So he wanted the technical end of things?
Impress me with his knowledge. And the guy's like drawing diagrams. And at one point, he actually said, he went like this and he went, oh, if I had my protractor.
Wow.
I'm looking at Janet going, if you had your protractor, I would stab you in the neck with it right now.
You ran and got yours.
He was actually, Janet would ask him questions. He's got something to do with fiber optics and satellites. And she made the mistake of saying, like, so, what exactly is it that you do? And this started a 30-minute travelogue that included drawing on napkins.
Does he protect our nation in some way?
Yes.
Yes, you could say that in some way he does.
Yeah, but I pray that he's not the guy with his finger on the button, because he is not the man for the job. This guy needs to get laid. His wife needs to come back so bad. This guy had so much pent-up energy. So we had him out to dinner from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. We get back to the house. We sit down, we take the dogs outside, it's 9:30, and he says, you know what I'd love? What, a nice pick in the head? No. How about some coffee?
Okay. He says that?
Yeah.
I got this guy figured out already. I know what this is.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
This is the distant cousin that somebody will say, oh, you have a cousin down in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I guess.
And 99.9% of people will say, no, I don't know this person well enough to impose.
Well, that's
right.
Mike, that's the
man. And the person that does this, I bet he's a professional guest. I bet if he's the kind of guy, you know, how many times socially when you're saying something to be kind, you say, hey, listen, if you're ever in town, give me a call. Well, will you say that? Because you know the person never will. This is the guy that writes down the number and does.
Uh-huh. And it was done.
He's never paid for a goddamn hotel room in his life.
You're right about this, because it was done via email. And the way that it was sold to me and the way Janet presented it was like, hey, this guy's got an appointment downtown.
Did he pop for dinner?
No, didn't even make the move.
I know the type.
Didn't make the move. And I believe I said something. I had to be very.
Did he bring anything to your house?
I had to bring, besides his dog.
Yeah. Did he bring Mike a bottle of wine?
No, he brought his dog and he brought a dog food and he brought his bag.
No gift?
No, no, no. The gift, Mike, was conversation.
Wow.
Because after we got home, he wanted coffee. And then
you've been victimized.
Then yeah. he said to Janet, you know, one thing that I remember about your family, and this is where I started to figure out the guy's kind of a distant relative. Mm-hmm. And she looks at him like, what? And she's got that very polite look that I know is just one step away from, like, F you. She goes, what is it about my family that you know? She goes, I know you love to play Yahtzee. And for a brief moment, he sucked her in because she said, we do. And
she's what he wanted to do.
And he said, the last time I was with your mom and your brother, we stayed up and played Yahtzee. So she goes upstairs and gets
Jesus,
the Yahtzee.
So you get this guy. This guy is manipulating your whole evening.
Hold on, because it gets better. I swear to Christ.
I want coffee. I want this beer. I want to be taken out to dinner. Now I want to play Yahtzee.
Now he's got Janet excited, and she's giving me the looks like, hey, will you just come on? Please. Be social. Please play the game with us. So we play Yahtzee. It's now 11:35, and I say, hey, you know what? Saturday Night Live is on. New Saturday Night Live. Let me turn that on. I say, I got a beautiful high-def set. Yeah, that's really great, but I just need a pair of threes, and I'm going to, you know, so.
Oh, God.
I'm tied into this thing, finally, at 12:15.
Oh, you mean, so you weren't able to even leave the Yahtzee board?
No, it's no fun if just the two of them are playing. It's got to be a round of three.
So the one thing you wanted to do in the evening, he doesn't allow you to do.
12:15, he finally was the big winner. We added it up. He won like $1.96, something like that, whatever it was.
Not that you missed anything with Saturday Night Live.
So listen to this. As he's getting set to go to bed, I say to him, in the morning, I'll make sure that you get coffee and everything because I'm an early riser. He says, well, so am I. He said, but I've had an awful long day, and I'm probably going to sleep. And I said, well, great. I'm going to try very hard to be careful in the morning. But just know when you get up, don't worry about it because I'll be up. Mm-hmm. Well, imagine my surprise at 4:45. That'd be 4:45.
Uh-huh.
The dog had to go outside. And
his dog?
His dog had to go outside.
Sure.
Now, this is not a problem because we had not turned the alarm on in the house. Told him he could take the dog outside. Mm-hmm. The problem was that as he took the dog outside at 4:45 a.m., he turned on every light from the basement up through the living room, and we could hear, lying in bed sleeping, come on, Nubby! Come on! Gotta go potty! Come on, Daddy the brain surgeon wants you to go potty!
Jeez, this guy. Did he get up because the dog woke him up, or was that on his regular schedule? Or
Mike, at this point, it's 5 a.m.
Very queer thing.
And the lights are still on downstairs. Mm-hmm. So Jan says, I'll go handle it. I said, no, you know what? I'll deal with this guy. Mm-hmm. And I was really of half a mind. I said, I'll go down. I'll show him I'm awake. And goddamn, if I don't go downstairs, and he's standing there, and he has got his workout clothes on, and he says, I was just getting ready to go for a run. I don't really know how to work the coffee machine. Which coffee machine you got going here?
Ah, a lot of coffee.
Could you help him?
Big caffeine guy.
Now, 5:15 a.m. We just went to bed at 12:15. The guy goes out for a run. And now he's got in his bag, when he wants to go out for a run, it's dark. Rob would say dark is 1,000 midnights.
Right.
He's got the thing on that's got like the Matthew Lesko suit, but it's got bicycle reflectors all over it.
No.
It's got like a white, I want to say like, a one-piece unit, but it's not really the two-piece thing.
Like Francis from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah, except like a cyclist, though. Although, like, something like almost like, you know, the outfit a golfer wears in the rain?
Yeah.
Like a rain suit?
Yeah, all right.
It's something like that with the big yellow deer hunting thing down the middle, and it's covered with these, with the bicycle things. And
well, he never knows where he's going to be when he's staying at someone's house.
He's off for his run. And when he's leaving, I go back upstairs, and just as I am about to get back into bed, we hear from downstairs, arr, arr. I just looked at Jan. I said, yeah, you go ahead and sleep. I said, I guarantee he's going to be gone. I'm going to beat this man. He's going to be gone before you get up, and I'm going to do it with finesse, and I'm going to do it with style, and he's not going to know what hit him.
Yeah.
You just go back to bed. She wakes up at 8 a.m., comes downstairs, and I had the look of a beaten man because I was sitting there on my third cup of coffee with this guy. Just going through every bit of Janet's life that he knew about. He would not stop talking. I switched off. I handed off to Janet. At about 8 o'clock, I went upstairs. I said, I'm going to go take a shower. Yeah. I went upstairs. Hid for an hour. 1 hour. Came back downstairs at 9 a.m. She looks at me and she says, well, what do you feel like for breakfast?
Oh, no.
And I swear
she's
to,
failed.
I swear to Christ.
You failed and now she's failed.
I'm looking around like, please, somebody save me. And she says, well, I know that Brain would like an omelet. Would you like an omelet? And I said, sure, sure, an omelet would be great. Breakfast started at 9:45 a.m. Uh-huh. And after talking while he was doing the crossword puzzle, at 11:45. Uh-huh. Now, keep in mind, I've been upstairs.
Brain.
I've been upstairs. I know his next location. He's going to visit another family member.
Oh.
I've already map-quested it out for him.
Oh, good.
And I've put it on top of the
What's
table.
What's he on, some sort of family tour?
he's stopping to see. It's like he was going to stop and see his sister in Delaware on his way back to Pennsylvania.
This guy's never paid for a hotel in his life.
So I've map-quested it out for him. Good. And it's now 11:45, and both Janet and I are dog-ass tired and just at the end of our rope with this guy. And he says, oh, look at that. Did you do this for me? That's nice. You map-quested. That's great. I'm about ready to get out of here, but you know what? I gotta take a shower. Uh-huh. At that point, we both just look at each other like, "You're kidding." And at that point, really, I honestly gave up and I said,
"Well, yeah, he's got to use your bathroom."
I said, "Go ahead."
He's got to use. You got any fresh towels? Uh-huh.
Knock yourself out. 1:25.
Surprised he didn't borrow underwear.
1:25 p.m. We stood on our front porch, and as he drove away. I waved like this.
One finger.
Middle with finger.
Now, it wasn't like facing him. It
right,
was like
right.
like this. It was just almost like triumphantly like in your like.
This is a professional. This is a professional guest.
Yeah, it sounds like
it's
it.
It's a man that is absolutely comfortable. And you know what? People like this, the way you're describing this, this guy knew exactly what he was doing.
And then here's and you know that this is the other part of it.
He doesn't care.
That I hear Janet on the phone with her mom. It was today. I hear her on the phone. Oh, it was nice. He's really nice. It was wonderful. It was great.
How old is he?
35, 36, something like that.
He's going to be doing this for many years to come. Oh,
yeah. And last night, once he left, we tried to get our S together, and we went to a movie, and I fell asleep during the movie Vantage Point. And then we got home last night, and when Ryan Seacrest was talking to, what's it, the drunk Gary Busey, I was half asleep. And then really, at about 7 o'clock, I said to Janet, you know what? I feel like when we did a morning show,
right?
I feel like I have been up for like 3 days. Mm-hmm. I don't care if I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning tomorrow. I'm going to bed right now. TiVo Regis for me. Good night, nurse. And that's it. Your boy is out.
Well, you know, getting back to what you started the show with, did you happen to show him the article in the paper? Because I remember you said you were going to casually, if it was a couple, you were going to leave it out on the kitchen counter.
I made a big deal about it. And he said, here was his quote. It's very nice. Well, it's above the fold. And then he said, I swear to Christ. He's looking at the whole section of the paper, and he said, sure, it's nothing, but it seems almost all of the other pictures are in color.
Wow.
And I looked. I just, it was a second cup of coffee. I went, well, you know, Poe's got kind of a hard-on against us. They always have, pal.
And he really was going to another guest destination.
Yeah.
He was off to the sister's house.
So, you know what? Now that I look back, perhaps that's why I was needy towards you guys.
It's like, of course you were. You know, you were victimized and by a professional guest.
And poor Janet. She can't rave out about this guy, and she's probably pissed that I'm even talking about him now. Yeah. It was like, you know, this morning when I got up, it was like having the hold card of all time when you're playing poker. Because I woke up this morning, and the look that she gave me was just pure unadulterated. I will never be able to make this up. I will never be. You could set me on fire and roll me down the hill, and we'd be even and square.
Anybody that's got a large extended family knows that you have got guys like this. These people, I know them. They're professional guests. And you know, if you see it coming,
and Mike,
you see it coming, you can do it because you can make something up that you're not going to be in town.
I'm lowballing when I'm telling you that I had to sit through. Do you know
because you're lowballing it, I understand exactly what he was all about.
Do you know the proliferation of cell phone towers, and do you know the amount of whatever that they throw out, and do you know that in the year 2002, it was like this, and in 2003, it's like this. And
I'm going to go a step further. Here's where he got you, okay? Here's where he got you. You know what was more important to him than seeing any more museums or seeing anything downtown was assuring that he would have his meal taken care of.
Absolutely.
That was his number. That is why he busted ass to get back there. Mm-hmm. That is why he lingered in the morning. Mm-hmm. He wanted it to. You two could have been anyone. You two could have been anyone. You were actually drones in a hive,
right,
that were there to serve. I've met people like this. I've had them do this to me, and it's always the same.
We have a professional guest in my family, and I'm surprised that he pulled the shower trick. That's really advanced stuff.
Yeah.
Because that's usually at the last minute. As this guy in our family, what he likes to do is we'll meet him because he'll need a ride to dinner, mm-hmm. and we'll get
there. Yeah, he needs a ride. Yeah,
where
a lot
is
of times
he?
They do everything.
He's showering because he wants it to be on his schedule.
Yeah,
and keep in mind
the Yahtzee thing is also another thing.
Oh, that's
like,
amazing!
Hey, uh-huh. You used to like, and you see, it's her. He's lying. Yahtzee is that effer's favorite game in the whole world. And the fact that you're low key,
Jan likes it too. It is like he suckered her in.
No, but that's what he wanted to do.
Yeah, his agenda. Sure.
You really, boy. You know what? I wish I had known he was coming. He was going to do that because they can be defeated. They can be easily defeated. You can completely it on your schedule.
Yeah, but the only way, but then you end up looking like a dick because the last thing you want.
Yeah, of course, but it doesn't matter because you'll never see him again.
Yeah, but he'll talk to other people.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, that's why you got to keep the BS going. It's like, that's why, mm-hmm. you know, Janet's talking to her mother and just blatantly, she's looking at me like, really? She's saying, I am lying to my mother so much. He was wonderful.
No,
and he, you know, Mom, and I really hear her say, Mom, you know the best part? Brought his dog. Yeah. Aw, oh, so sweet. We had such a good time with him, Mom. Are you kidding me?
The professional guest.
What you have to report. Me?
And there, you know what? It's family. Some people do this with family. There are other people that do it without family. I mean, that actually will say, hey, listen, I'm going to be in the area. And they they're hard to describe, but it requires a level of balls. It requires a level of brass where you actually say, hey, listen, I was going to be in the area, and I was wondering if I could impose.
I'll give you one more that I know you can relate to.
Okay.
You, Mike O'Mara, can relate
right?
to this. At the end of dinner, after 3 hours at this restaurant, when we are just waiting for the – and you know when you're waiting for the guy to come back with the check, it's like, please – you know, big tip, as fast as you can. We
yeah, right.
Get, out of here.
Get me the thing processing.
And we've already figured out that he doesn't really know Janet that well, that they've only met a couple of times at family reunions. It's at this moment when I'm waiting for the guy to come back, when he leans over and he puts his hand on hers and he says, so, when are you going to make my cousin an honest woman?
Oh. I'm only on the rank.
Okay.
Made it the perfect
okay. Because he's brain. You know what that is? He's brain. They might not have a lot of contact, but he is an encyclopedia of, and I'm sure he was. Was he not an encyclopedia of family knowledge?
He knew
He knew everybody in the family.
He knew more than Janet did, you're right.
He probably is a family historian. He probably could tell you where everybody's from, what everybody's doing, because he pays attention, because that you're all his marks. That's what he does.
Hold on. You know, she's going to really be pissed because of this, but I'll tell you something. Do you know that you might be right, because he was talking about...
Sure.
They were talking about someone in their family that lived somewhere down by the Outer Banks or something like that. And he said...
We're planning a trip down there during the summer.
Yes!
Yeah,
yes! Yeah. Yes! He said, we're all getting... She said, I didn't even know we had family down there. And he said, oh, but we do. It's a great time. You go... tubing and you stay on this giant house right on the lake.
He was completely at ease, right?
He knows all about it.
There wasn't anything awkward about him at all. He was completely at ease.
No.
And really, you guys have a guest room? You got your own bathroom for him down there, right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, he hit the mother load.
Yeah.
He hit the, you know why he was going, hey, no. There was one reason he did that.
Why?
One reason. He literally could not work the coffee machine. And he wanted coffee.
Yeah.
He knew someone would come downstairs.
Makes sense to me.
This guy is transparent. You know, you don't even realize this telling the story.
No, it's one button to push to turn it on, though.
But he didn't know how to work it.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, because that's also probably the big brain thing, and a little simple things don't work.
It was a rented dog.
It could have been.
The dog was the sweetest part. The dog was the...
What kind of car was he driving?
A real POS.
Okay.
A real POS.
Could you now I don't want to be too
relatively cynical, late model American made.
I don't want to be too cynical here. I really, really don't. I really, really don't. Could you go back and check and really make sure that award thing that he went to is legit?
there was such
Do you
event.
Know beyond a shadow of a doubt
no.
that he had an award that, ceremony you know to go? That thing that he brought out.
Because you know what? I said to Janet, it sure does look like a placemat. That's what I said. It doesn't look like. Now, it wasn't framed.
Right.
Did it have a maze on it?
And it didn't have.
Was it a sheet of paper, like a certificate?
It wasn't even that. It was like, it would look like something you might buy because it was whipped out so fast. Uh-huh. It looked like something you might buy at a souvenir shop or right. maybe, you know, I don't know. It looked cheesy.
Uh-huh. He was leaving for his sister's house.
Yep.
On Sunday night.
Wanted to make it there by dinner time.
Okay. Sunday night. Is he going to be home? I mean, is that the home destination?
No, back at home Monday.
Hmm. Most people probably would want to be home Sunday night because they would have
He has Monday work. Off. He has Monday off, Mike.
Supposedly.
Monday off from building rockets.
Sure.
Or whatever it is that he does.
Look, here's the deal. You were not trying to do this with your story of the guy. It sounds to me, I'm suspicious because I've had experience with professional guests before. Yeah. Professional guests are, they are so... You know what? And I used to think that they're not doing it to be malicious. It's not malice.
No.
It's just strategic. They know what they're going to do, and they know how to do it. It's a system they have.
Janet is a mark. She's got a good heart. She's sweet.
There are probably a million marks in her family.
She won't say no to them. I mean, you know, when he left, she said, well, that wasn't that bad. He's my cousin.
Right.
Like, are you kidding me? For like the past 24 hours, you've been wishing this guy dead.
It's amazing the way people do this, and there are people that do this all over. And what they are normally not first cousins. They are not second cousins. Sometimes they are even further out.
Third cousin.
They're far out from the family tree.
Practically a complete stranger. Yeah. Moved into your house over the weekend.
And made you buy dinner.
And for being an educated man on more than one occasion, called her cuz, C-U-Z.
All of that hey,
cuz.
All of it by design.
Sure.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. That hey, sounds
I
right.
I want to meet this guy.
Hey, bro.
Don't say that, Mike.
Don't say that. Stay at my,
he'll come
no, no. You mind. Know, I'm far. Really, I'm the most thoughtless person in my family. I don't allow it to happen. I don't allow it to happen with anybody.
Hey,
I really don't.
I
tell you, my brother-in-law, Paul, came down a short time ago and was going to be a house guest. Uh-huh. I always bite my lower lip. And Paul was, you know, best man at my wedding.
I'm telling you, you could get snookered on this. If your girlfriend said to you, I got a cousin coming in from out of town. And this guy, he's coming with his wife, and it's no fuss, no muss. Mm-hmm. They got an itinerary. They're going to be in and out. Right. I promise you, no problem. Mm-hmm. You would probably say to go along.
Of course.
Get along to go along. Of course. Yeah.
It's difficult. You're in a much more difficult spot. If it's on your side of the family, you have greater control. If it's on her side of the family, you have to kind of be.
You acquiesce a little bit.
You know, she's done things for you. You do things for her. That's the way it works.
That's why the look that Janet had today, I would best describe as. Dog that's waiting to be hit.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, she looked like one of Michael Vick's dogs.
She feels badly.
She's like, just waiting. I was coming around the corner. I was like, what's going on? She said, is everything cool about my cousin? Said, yeah, come on.
It's all over
He's
now.
He's gone. He's not coming back. I said, I'll guarantee that today.
Is there anything, and this is a legitimate question, is there anything during the time he was in your house that he said, hey, that is really nice? Did he compliment anything to a point where he might have thought he could get it
covet
from
anything.
You. Right. Did he covet anything?
Oh.
Did he covet anything?
Okay.
That's it, Buzz.
All right.
Is there anything he particularly coveted?
Uh-huh.
It all fits into that box.
Let's put all the cards on the table.
All right.
I ain't bragging. I have a nice baby grand piano
yes, you do.
That my wife had.
Right.
He did make a comment about when you move, what are you going to do with the piano?
Oh,
and I said to him,
sure.
I don't play it. Certainly, Jan on plant. I'm guessing it'll go with the house. And at that point, there may have been some sort of
conversation
that I may have tuned out. But he did, as he was walking around, he did stop and he did comment on what a beautiful piano. And
I was thinking,
do you play?
I was thinking perhaps like some sort of lamp. Or some, he's going for a piano. He's going for a baby grand piano.
It's a baby grand.
That's what he... Because, oh, my God, he's got to be stopped.
Was he licking
tell his Janet, seriously, tell Janet to do some kind of recon in the rest of her family. And she can do it without outing the guy. She can do it like, you know so-and-so cousin Ronnie? Has he ever been to your house?
You should.
You know, maybe she can do it. She does family reunions,
She's
right?
already started this with her mom, though. She's already started the Goodwill ambassador thing. I already heard her today going,
that's
you know,
okay. But she can get the, well, does her family gossip at all?
No, and the thing is, it's just like one of those things. She said to me, and Mike, we had this discussion, and it ended like this. She said, listen, As far as we know, he's a nice guy. He's a third cousin. Uh-huh. He's not an axe murderer. He's a little pushy. We know this. We will never, ever be involved with him in any way ever again.
Stick to that.
And I said, all right, you know, pinky swear, and we're cool.
Yeah. Jeez. Don't buckle, don't fold.
You know, third cousin, really, he might not even be related.
Oh, no, he is. Might,
is he really?
He is. And, you know, he's the type of guy that travels with proof. Hey, I'm like, hey, Jan, I've got pictures of me and your mom. Now, look at this. Look at this, your mom.
He brought pictures?
Yeah, it's like, you know.
He's a carny. He's a huckster.
Yeah. Look at it, you know, pre-depression photos. You know, it's like, now, there's your mom. And, well, there I am, spranked. Look at me all clean behind the ears in front of my brand new Edsel, ready to go out and sell my first new Bible.
Did Janet feel that she'd been swindled?
Swindle is the proper word.
Oh, I want to say that she would say that he probably overstayed his welcome. Would be
you
the
take any
way.
Food for the road?
She offered.
Okay, he didn't take any.
He didn't.
He was full.
I was ready to hit her. We're standing outside. She's like, please,
you like, I can make you a sandwich.
Please leave. And I'm like, God, you know, if you get him back in the house, we're never going to get rid of him. I swear to Christ.
Wow. Well, you got to figure this guy spent that much time with you and he doesn't know you. I mean, he really does this all the time.
He did say that he would attempt to listen today online.
Oh, good.
Wow.
So, swindler.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Provided he can borrow a computer.
Hey, I stand by my analysis. Mm-hmm. Hey, I hope you're enjoying your day off at somebody else's house.
Yeah, that he's got. Computers he's got.
I think you're right.
Man, that guy's got computers.
Well, look, and you know what? All of this is pure speculation on my part. I certainly could be wrong. He seems to be, you know, what I'm doing is what I often do on the show. I'm profiling. I'm profiling
well,
the guy.
You're good at that.
And it just sounds to me, I'll tell you what really got me, Yahtzee.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you used to like to play Yahtzee. What he wanted to do.
That's calculated.
Totally calculated. He had his.
I said to Janet.
He was on the metro going down to get his fake award, and he was planning his evening.
I said to Janet, he's like the guy on, you know, on the Chris Hansen show. I mean, mm-hmm. he knows that's your weakness.
Uh-huh. Right?
He knows Yahtzee's your weakness, for God's sakes.
You do a little recon when he left?
Like what?
You know,
look around.
I mean, I've been in your house. I don't remember where everything is.
Oh, no. He's not a stealer. He's a user.
Yeah. Is there a TV down in his bedroom?
Yeah. He had some complaints with that as well.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did.
Does he have access to DirecTV?
Yes, he did. Just a slight complaint.
You checked that already, didn't you?
Yeah. Of course I did. I went down. I checked.
I know what's valuable to you.
I went down. And also, I made sure he didn't order any movies or anything. He didn't. He was just concerned that there was a spot on the screen.
Yeah.
You know, thought it might be some sort of, you know, something that I hadn't noticed.
Mm. He's probably hoping he could replace the TV.
Wanted to bring it to my attention.
Sure. Bring a new TV in there.
It was at that point I said to him something like, listen, I wouldn't worry about a spot on the TV screen. I'd worry about a spot in your underpants because the bed you're using is the bed that my son has used until he moved out of town. And that's the truth. And that's the type of thing I would look at him and expect a smile, or he would just look at me and go, really? That's your son that's going to graduate this year. It's like, okay, dude, I'm just talking about, like, you probably have, like, high school girl cooties all over your crotch.
Rats on the east side. Bed bugs uptown.
You got to hit a break.
Wow.
So and that's why... I was not able, when you called, when I woke up today, Janet did say, hey, listen, Rob and Mike both called. And I said, aha, did they call to glow in the fabulous article? No, they just called about Regis. And I said, oh, okay.
So well, I was actually, that. Rob wasn't, but I was actually going to talk about the article.
What article?
I believe you, Mike.
Thank you.
I believe you.
Appreciate that.
I believe you.
I appreciate it.
Anyhow, let's break for a moment.
I'm on to you, swindler, if you're listening online.
I'll call home and I'll find out how things are going there.
Yeah, good idea. I really think you could probably find out more if Janet did a little family recon.
I was driving her crazy as well today when I said, how do we know that his wife is not chopped up like in a million little bits down right. in the root cellar?
Sure.
And at first she was like, oh, come on, stop it. This guy's a nerd, but stop saying that. And I said, Jan, seriously, how many times did he mention my wife? And he said, well, I'll try to call, but... Oh, I don't want to use your long-distance lines. I'll try a little later.
Au contraire, mon frère.
Yeah. Okay.
He would have used the long-distance line. Really? Mm-hmm. He would have sent her a cable.
You know what I bet?
What?
I bet the wife is off working an uncle somewhere.
Yeah, that's how they're living right now.
But for what? So he got a free dinner, and he got a free omelet out of it?
Not a lot of profit. Hey, man, you know, grifting is grifting. No matter what. No matter what it is.
Hotline on a new piano.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. All right. Uh-huh. Time out. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
106.7 WJFK.